Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be on the show.
And Dr. Ray Pritchard joins us to co-host from Dallas. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing good. And Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio News and OneNewsNow.com.
Here after being stuffed with turkey, celebrating Canadian Thanksgiving yesterday.
Canadian Thanksgiving Day. Mm-hmm. And so you Canadians celebrate Thanksgiving Day wherever they may be.
That's right. So you're, absolutely.
Even
absolutely.
Though you're 2,000 miles from home.
But it was real hard to find a turkey this time of the year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the grocery stores just weren't carrying many of them, so we had to search three grocery stores to find
Americans them. Need to be more sensitive to the Thanksgiving holiday celebrated by Canadians and provide some turkeys.
That's right. Let's start a movement.
I think we need a grocery store section with turkeys with the Maple Leaf flag.
There you go.
So everybody know where to go get them.
Absolutely.
Walker, what are we doing on our Today's Issues Facebook page today?
We are live streaming, so you can not only listen to the show, you can go there and watch it on the Today's Issues Facebook page. And our listeners and our viewers love to read more into the stories that we talk about, the important stories of the day. So all the news stories will be posted on the Today's Issues page.
And we appreciate all the folks who watch and comment on our Today's Issues Facebook page. You can also download the app. The American Family Radio app on your cell phone or on your other kind
tablet.
Of tablet, iPad, whatever the case may be. And you can download the app and listen anywhere in the world on your cell phone or on your iPad or your other similar type device. So make sure you do that. Thousands of people listening to us around the world on our apps.
That's cool.
On our app, American Family Radio's app. It's free. Mm-hmm. You download it for free. So much to talk about today. Dr. Frank Turek will be with us a little bit later on, as will Sandy Rios. A lot to discuss. Ray, you're through traveling for a while?
Well, till later this weekend. And this weekend I'll be out in Anaheim Hills, California, which is where one of the big wildfires is raging out there.
Is your trip still on?
So far as of this morning, I'm speaking at a men's conference, and on Sunday morning at Kindred Community Church. And that's a church that right now is in the evacuation zone. The fires yesterday came up to and onto part of the church property.
Yeah. Well, we're going to speak to Dr. Ray Comfort momentarily about this. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the fires in California are actually in two locations. You've been hearing about the fires, but initially up in the Napa Valley, which would be east of from San Francisco, up in that area. It is in the fires, they're never good, but they're happening in particular in the Napa Valley. This is harvest time in the Napa Valley. A lot of tourists come to that area.
This wine country?
Wine country. And one of the reporters for Fox News did a live stand-up from out there this morning. And he is talking, and he said, my dad's farm is just down the hill from here. And he said, when I'm not on the air doing these live hits, I'm going around finding pieces of dirt to put out the flames. So my dad's farm. We're talking, you know, you take an acre of grapes, a grape crop. That's destroyed. It represents tens of thousands of dollars for these farmers. So you got all that happening. The tourists can't come right now, the Napa Valley. Then, as Ray was just mentioning, down towards Anaheim, Orange County, in those hills, and that would be the area of like Disneyland and in those some big churches in that area. Now that area, as Ray was just mentioning, there's an evacuation zone in that area. We're reporting this morning, as of a few moments ago, the death toll from the two fires, 11, but there are at least 100 people missing. And so we expect that number to climb. We're used in the southeastern quarter of the country here, we're used to tornadoes and hurricanes, certainly. But fires are not something that a lot of our listeners are familiar with, not to this magnitude. This is absolutely huge.
Yeah. Well, by the way, we want to welcome to our program. We have two Rays now.
Yeah.
Because Dr. Ray Pritchard's on the phone with us from Dallas. He's co-hosting. But we go now to Los Angeles, where Ray Comfort's ministry is located. I was texting Ray this morning, Ray Comfort, and asking him, you know, are you near the fires? Because I knew I've been to his ministry headquarters before, and then I've been to Anaheim, so I knew it wasn't too far. Mm-hmm. So Ray Comfort is on the phone with us from the Los Angeles area. Ray, good morning.
Good morning, Tim.
Hey, Ray, you sent me a picture that you took yesterday, I guess, with smoke from the fires covering the city, blocking the sunlight, right?
Yeah, it was very eerie. On one side of the sky, it was blue. On the other side, it was just a dark brown, making the sun go a brownish orange. But the sun was reflecting off the flag and making it stand out kind of brilliantly. And mm-hmm. It just made me think of how, as a nation, we have been nothing like what we should be. We've been like Israel of old. And if you look at the Old Testament, Israel kept forsaking God's law. They would get into idolatry. And then it would bring judgment upon the nation. And, boy, it just seems like almost every day there's tragedy. I mean, horrific, biblical proportions tragedy hitting our nation. And it just made me think of football and how that when the laws are obeyed in football, there's liberty in the game. There's no transgressions, and the game flows. But if in a game of football every man did that which is right in his own eyes, it's going to be chaos. And as a nation, we have move to that point of forsaking God's law, throwing out the Ten Commandments, and doing that which is right in our own eyes, and we've become lawless. We've become liars and blasphemers and thieves and covetous and adulterers, and we're forsaking God's law. And if you look at the words that Catherine Lee Bates wrote in America, the Beautiful, we're all very familiar. There are beautiful, spacious skies for amber waves of grain, the purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain, but not many people are familiar with the last verse. America, America, God, mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Most of the world hasn't got a clue that law brings liberty. In a football game, be lawful, you have a free-flowing game. In a nation, be lawful, obey God's law, and you have a freedom within the country. That's why the Bible calls the moral law the perfect law of liberty. And we just need to turn back to God and look at those commandments and realize we've sinned against God and we need a Savior. And God promises He'll heal the land, and He does it through the gospel. We can each receive personal forgiveness of sins and national forgiveness of sins and receive healing personally and as a nation, where God brings His blessing back on the land and we don't see these tragedies day after day after day.
Well, you won't get that on the Weather Channel.
No.
I don't think. Ray Comfort, our guest from Southern California, absolutely right. We need to repent in this country, and we need to have a revival. And two things I want to ask you. First of all, Ray, I want to ask you a question about where you are in relationship to the fires, because Dr. Ray Pritchard, who's also on the phone with us, who's my co-host today from Dallas, he's going to be in Anaheim Hills. Ray Pritchard, when are you going to be there?
Well, this weekend at Kindred Community Church, which is up in the hills. It's up in the fire zone right now. So fire was all around the church property yesterday.
How far are you, Ray Comfort, from that area?
We're about 30 miles. I preached at Kindred Church about 3 weeks ago for Pastor Phil. It's in Weir Canyon, and most of our staff actually fellowship at that church. It's a wonderful church, and apparently the fires went around it, for which we're very grateful. They have a beautiful facility in that canyon. And it would have been a tragedy for that to go on.
Hey, Ray Comfort, let me ask you this. The reason I'm saying his last name, folks, I'm not interrogating him here. Mr. Comfort, could you please answer the question? I sound like a lawyer. I'm distinguishing between the two Rays here for our listeners. Ray, do you feel like that we're under judgment? The U.S., because of all these tragedies that are happening so close together, that is that what you're saying? Or
I think we're seeing what we see in the Old Testament. There's a pattern if you follow the Old Testament. Firstly, Israel forsook God's law, and you see it happen right from Moses coming down from the mountain. They forsake the law because it's offensive. Romans 8, verse 7 says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we forsake God's law naturally. That's just our sinful nature does that. And then we move into idolatry. It always goes that way, where we create a God, not with our hands like a golden calf, but we create a God in our own image, a God that's quite happy with adultery and fornication and blasphemy and pornography and all these things. He doesn't mind it. He kind of smiles at everything. He's a cuddly Santa Claus or a divine butler, so to speak, which is, we see that God prayed to after 9/11. America went to church for about a week and then went back to sin. And that's what's happening. We've given as a nation, we've given our hearts to darkness and thinking we'd find freedom. And it does bring judgment. And obviously, we're losing God's blessing. You cannot look at hurricanes lining up one after the other and tornadoes coming at the same time and say, oh, yeah, this is God's blessing. You cannot watch television and see how almost all the commercials are about people, you know, how to fight cancer, how to fight this disease. We're a nation that's very sick. And we've lost God's blessing. We've got epidemics and disease. Mm-hmm. We've got epidemics and suicides. 40,000 people are committing suicide each year. 500,000 are ending up in hospital with attempted suicide. So we need to get back to God and say, God, please bring your blessing upon this land.
Well, Ray, where can people contact you or read about your ministry?
Livingwaters.com.
Livingwaters.com. And then you have a Facebook page too, right?
Yes, sir.
What is it?
Oh, it's Ray Comfort Facebook. I think that's how you'd get me.
Yeah, I was trying to give you a chance to promote your Facebook page, and
I blew it.
Yeah, well, yeah, you did, but you made up for it. Okay, Ray. Well, listen, thanks for being on with us, and we will pray for our friends there in California, both in Southern California and Northern California, who are threatened by these fires. Mm. And like Fred said earlier, you know, at least where we live here in the Southeast, and most people in the Midwest are not familiar with these fires that they have out west. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Ray. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Bye bye. That's I don't know if he's a doctor or not, Ray Comfort. Well, I tell you what, he is now, because we just bestowed on him an honor.
That's right. We just gave him one. He's earned it.
Don't you think so, Ray?
Yes.
Absolutely. Amazing ministry.
We control the honorary doctorates here.
And that's right.
For today's issues, we just gave him one.
Isn't it interesting, Ray Comfort saying that the fire moved around that church?
Mm-hmm.
That's the update from there. Mm-hmm. It moved around and spared the building.
Right. It moved right up to the, I mean, there's a video showing the flames coming right up behind the buildings where they use, you know, for Sunday school. I mean, it was all around the church, but in the sovereignty of God, who controls all things, the church so far has been spared, and I'm waiting to hear this morning, but I think the fire, the worst of it, I think has passed it by.
Amen. Well, let's continue on with this theme. We got a guest here with us from our good friend, Dr. Frank Turek, who's with us every Tuesday, that it works out for him to be here, and he's with us now from North Carolina. Frank is president and founder of Cross Examined Ministries. He has a weekend program here on American Family Radio, and he's written many, many books. And Frank, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are things?
Doing well. Thanks for being on with us. Did you hear Ray Comfort talking there?
I did. I heard about the last 5 minutes of it. Ray's out in California. Yeah. I know Ray pretty well. He does great work. I mean, he does some
great videos. Let me ask you this.
Great videos.
Well, what do you think, Frank? I mean, all these things, it seems like I was telling somebody the other day when we were talking about the president, and I was saying, I don't remember, maybe there has been, but I don't remember a president having so much happen in the first 10 months of his presidency, 9 months, with all the hurricanes, North Korea, the mass killings in Las Vegas, all these things. I mean, of course, you sign up for it when you're president. When you run for president, you're going to have things happen. But but just in terms of, what about spiritually, Frank, in terms of all these things that are happening? You heard what Ray said. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not the one to ask on that, because I don't think there's any revelation that tells us that such and such a thing happened for such and such a reason. Other than when you read the Old Testament, God tells us. But he's not telling us that these events are somehow related to his divine judgment for a particular sin. I think generally you can say that these things are the result of sin. They are. I mean, ultimately you can trace it back to the sin of Adam and Eve, and then our sins that have continued since then. But I don't think you can say, unless God reveals it to us, that such and such an event was judgment for a particular sin in America. I don't think you can say that.
All right. Well, let's talk about the reason we had you on today was to, you know, every once in a while we like to pick up on these concepts that you talk about in your ministry to help Christians understand how to witness to the world, witness around them, and the most common objections that Americans or North Americans have to Christianity, and one of them is about judgment.
Right.
And you hear this often. You know, I always this is original with me as far as I know. I don't know. Maybe somebody else came up with it, but they probably got it from me. And that is, I say that the favorite Bible verse for people who don't believe the Bible is "Judge not, lest ye be judged."
That's right.
They know they commit that to the pagan commits that verse to memory. Frank, why is that?
I actually learned that from your father, so that's who? Where it came from.
You learned what I just said. Yeah, you learned from my
exactly.
dad. Well, I gave it to him when I was 5.
That's it. That's what I figured.
Okay. Well, so anyway.
Well, yeah. Let's
and I'm
talk
not
about
lying.
But I've noticed, you know, when people say don't judge, first of all, they're making a judgment. Right? So it's self-defeating to say don't make judgments. And Jesus didn't say don't make judgments. He said judge not, lest you be judged. By the same standard you judge others, you'll be judged by that standard. So before you try and take the speck out of your brother's eye, you hypocrite, take the log out of your own eye first. Now notice he's telling you to take the speck out of your brother's eye. That involves making a judgment. He's simply saying get that problem out of your life first so you can better help your brother. So he's essentially saying judge yourself before you judge other people. Don't judge hypocritically. It's not a command not to judge. It's a command on how to judge. In fact, in John 7:24, Jesus says, "Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment." You have to make a judgment to become a Christian, right? You have to, Christianity's true. Yeah, I'm a sinner. I need salvation. These are judgments. Atheists make judgments. They judge Christianity's wrong. The Bible's wrong. You're wrong if you think God exists. These are all judgments. The question isn't whether or not you can make judgments. The question is, are your judgments true? That's really the issue. By the way, I've noticed one other thing about judging just recently, Tim, and I may have gotten this from you, actually. You ever notice that when you compliment somebody, which is a judgment, nobody gets upset? Like if I were to say to you, Tim, you're such a wonderful guy. You're a great host here on Today's Issues. You think if I said that to Tim Ray that he's going to go, "Who do you think you are? Are you judging me? Do you think you're worse than me?" No, he's never going to say that because I've noticed that people don't have a problem with judging. They just have a problem with judgments they don't like. Mm-hmm. That's really the issue because people make judgments all the time. And right now there's this big story in the news about this movie guy, Harvey Weinstein, right? In fact, Cal Thomas has an article on it yesterday, I think, on Fox News about it, a column where he says, "Why criticize Harvey Weinstein? Restraint is passe and uncool, right? So anything goes." In other words, he's saying, why are we judging this guy after creating a culture for the past 50 years which says you ought not make judgments?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Frank, while we're talking about objections and sort of street level things, one thing we hear often is, "I don't want to go to church. I don't want to listen because the church is full of hypocrites." Mm-hmm. What's a good way to respond when somebody says that?
You say it is full of hypocrites. Exactly. And so when people say I can't go to church because there's too many hypocrites down there, I always say, come on down, pal. We got room for one more. Of course we're hypocrites. We can't. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need a savior. In fact, in one of my debates with Christopher Hitchens, the brilliant British atheist who sounded more brilliant than he was because he had a British accent, he was going on and on about all the evil religious people have done, to which I agreed with him. I said, you know, you're absolutely right. We have done evil. That's why we need a savior. Mm. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need a savior. So I said, look, I'm a hypocrite. I can't live up to things. I can't live up to what Jesus said. If I could, I wouldn't need him, though. So the church is not a country club for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. We're all sinners.
Amen.
Amen.
We need a savior.
Amen.
Hey, Frank, Fred Jackson here. Are you all set for your big apologetics conference this weekend?
It is, yes. You guys are going to be, or some of you guys are going to be here, and we're unveiling the new documentary that AFA is putting out just this, let's see, it's going to be this Friday and this Saturday here in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's the 13th and 14th. I think those are the dates, right? This Friday and Saturday?
That's right. Friday, Saturday.
And, yeah, it's two full days, and it's probably the top apologetics conference in the world. I mean, it's got all the big apologetic speakers here. And it's in Charlotte, and if people want to learn about it, they can go to ses.edu, ses.edu for Southern Evangelical Seminary. And there's room because it's held at the monstrous Calvary Church, which holds like 5,000 people in its sanctuary. So there's room. Come on down.
You got an atheist speaking there.
We do. We have Dan Barker debating Richard Howe. You guys know Richard Howe. He's been a longtime friend of AFA. And, in fact, he helped I think, on this new documentary. That's going to be unveiled.
No, Richard's from Tupelo.
Of course he is. He's
I used to hang out at his house.
Next to Tim Wildman.
Yeah,
he's the best known guy in Tupelo. Did you know
well,
that?
Well, I don't say much about it. I tell Richard a lot of what he knows.
But, right.
But if you say that, you sound like you're bragging.
He'll probably quote you this weekend.
That's right. It ain't bragging if you can do it.
Well,
that's
you
what
know,
Dizzy
just
Dean
ask
said.
Him. Just say, Richard, what impact did Tim Wildman have on your on your intellectual prowess? And
actually, I think I heard him introduce you once, Tim. Richard
did,
and he said, "Tim Wildman is a very humble man, and for good reason."
Well, anyway, that's the conference. We're unveiling the documentary, "The God Who Speaks."
That's right.
This is a documentary that American Family Association. We spent a little over a year, putting this together. And our team, and they've done a wonderful job, and it's a great film. It's an hour and a half long, but we're going to be talking more about it. But it's a film designed to show how the Bible is trustworthy, basically, and can hold up to scrutiny. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be talking about more about that. It's called The God Who Speaks. Well, tell us who you're having on this weekend on your show.
One person I'm going to have on is Jeff Myers, the president of Summit. He's got a new book called The Secret Battle of Ideas About God. Very good little book that we'll talk about. And how, you know, what Jeff says is it's not just about knowing the right ideas. It's about avoiding the bad ideas, because bad ideas are like viruses, and they can get into your mind. And if they get into your mind, they might get into your behavior and may negatively affect your life, not only for now, but for eternity. So we'll be talking a lot about that this weekend at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central, right here on the American Family Radio Network, made famous by the great Tim Wildman.
Well, thank you. You didn't have to say that, Frank. Really.
Actually, much of what I've learned from Walker, so I don't know what you're talking
about.
Thank
you, Frank.
Right. And who's Walker's daddy?
Who is Walker's daddy?
That's
who's
your daddy, Walker?
See, I didn't even have to insert myself. Okay. Frank did it for me.
Okay.
That's right.
I've been wanting to say who's your daddy on today's issues for a long time, but it's never been appropriate time to say.
Never had the right moment.
But you did it anyway.
I did it anyway right there.
That's right.
So Frank, what is your website?
It's crossexamined.org, crossexamined with a D on the end of it, .org. Like our Facebook pages, too, crossexamined on Facebook, and Dr. Frank Turek, Dr. Frank Turek.
And if I could read one book by Dr. Frank Turek, which one would you recommend?
I don't have enough faith to be an atheist, but then I'd go to read Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case as Well. There you go.
That was two books. But anyway.
I gave you two because I squeezed in one.
You can't choose between your children.
I can't.
Okay.
I love
you're
them
an
all.
Author and you write books, you can't choose one over the other one.
Yeah,
otherwise,
right.
You're saying, well, this one's lesser than
but,
the first one.
Well, I got a new one coming out called 10 Steps to Humility and How I Made It in 7.
Okay, that's
which is
good.
Very humble because I made it in 6.
Okay, yes, it is. All right, Frank, thanks so much.
See you guys.
Okay. Yeah. All right, we shall return. Sandy Rios is coming up in just a few minutes here on the program. We got a lot more news to talk about. We haven't got to yet. We haven't even scratched the surface. We will continue this conversation after the break. We're going to take about a 3-minute break, and we will be back with more of today's issues here on the American Family Radio Network.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
The Bible says that if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. The Lord knew that times of difficulty would arise. But the fact that difficulty is present is not an excuse to wilt.
We'll also hear news headlines and analysis from Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
I am a convicted felon, and while I was in prison, I kept thinking to myself, what am I going to do if I run into the old gang? I was a crackhead, and I knew that if I ran into them, I was going to be weak. And each time I would run into somebody, ASR was playing in my car, and something would come on that would deter me away from going back.
I just want to thank you for being such an encouragement. There's been times that I felt pretty down and low with times, and I could hear a good word of encouragement coming from someone from AFR, and I wanted to say thank you so much, and I appreciate the praise and worship that exalts the name of Jesus Christ, and I just give God thanks that He inhabits the praises of His people.
Ensure that we impact even more lives by partnering with us during our three-day share-a-thon starting October 17th. Listener-supported American Family Radio, for your family.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Vice President Mike Pence exposed the National Football League for what they have truly become, a bunch of un-American paltroons, cowards of the first order. They claim to be oppressed, these players who make on average nearly $2 million a year, and they're able to do that because of the blood shed by the greatest fighting force on the planet, the greatest force of good on the planet. The annual salary for a soldier in the military, around $28,000 a year. So you can understand why Vice President Pence and his wife, the parents of a Marine, were beyond offended when a bunch of preening community organizers took a knee Sunday in Indianapolis. They disrespected the flag. They dishonored the anthem. They spat on the Pence's son. My only issue with Sunday's game is that every other freedom-loving patriot did not jump out of their seats and follow the Vice President right out the door. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You can watch the show at our Today's Issues Facebook page if you'd like to do that. You can also, we podcast on American Family Radio's website. We do that, that's available to you at afr.net. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson. We're all here in our studios in Tupelo, and joining us in Dallas, as he does on Tuesdays and Thursdays when available, is Dr. Ray Pritchard. I want to talk about something for just a moment while we're waiting for Sandy, if we can get Sandy on, Sandy Rios. Folks, maybe you've heard about this story. There's this fellow by the name of Harvey Weinstein. He is one of the most powerful men in Hollywood. He lives in New York, I think, but I'm just using Hollywood is to say the movie-making business, the entertainment industry. This man, is probably one of the top five most powerful men in the entertainment industry. He and his brother started what's called Miramax Films. Well, last week, a story broke that he was being accused of sexually harassing actresses and women in the business.
For years.
That's been a story over the weekend. This guy, and now, just a few months ago, Drudge broke a story saying from the New Yorker saying that three women have accused him of rape, of actual rape. This guy looks to me like, I don't know how old he is, he looked to me to be about somewhere between 55 and 60 years old. The political angle to this is he is a major contributor to the Democratic Party. Close friends with Bill and Hillary Clinton and the Obamas. Now, I don't know how close, but I know close enough to have pictures made with them and money donated to their campaigns and on a first-name basis. And so what is happening here is that people are wanting to know why the Clintons and the Obamas, but primarily certainly the Clintons, are not speaking out against this man and or not volunteering to return the money he's given to them. And we're talking about a guy, this is a Bill Cosby type situation, folks. This is, they're going to start coming out of the woodwork now, these women who he has allegedly, you have to use that word because he hasn't been convicted in a court of law yet, although he has admitted that he has a serious problem.
Some of the accounts that have come out in the last few days, we can't even talk about.
No, already. They're too gross.
They're too gross.
They're too gross to talk about. But here's the other aspect of this is not only is he a major contributor to the Democratic Party, also the Hollywood left prides themselves on being pro-women, right?
Right.
And against misogyny and trying to have equal rights for equal pay and all these things that make up the political left. Well, Harvey Weinstein represents everything opposite of that, just like Bill Cosby does, okay? And Bill Clinton did. Yep. With all his escapades over the years where, so that's a situation, people wanting to know, the reporters are Saturday Night Live, for example, they always make fun of President Trump and conservatives. Mm-hmm. Well, they got one of their own here and they pulled
the script
right
last Saturday night.
Right.
They pulled the script. Here's the other thing too. You remember during the election campaign when certain revelations came out about then-candidate Donald Trump, Hollywood types, the news media, Hillary Clinton.
Oh, when he said that thing on the bus about the woman?
They were all over
Donald
Trump. Right. Hillary Clinton, at this moment, has not said a thing about
Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein. Mm. Not a thing.
Well, this is going to get ugly, and it's going to get, and, you know, the late night. The reason that the Hollywood, a lot of the Hollywood types, the celebrities. Meryl Streep did finally say something, but the reason you're not hearing more criticism from Hollywood about one of their own here is because this guy has been that powerful and had that much control over the industry.
To show you how bad his behavior the board of directors of the company he was with fired him, I think it was Sunday.
He founded the company.
They fired him Sunday night.
Right.
You know who sits on the board of directors? Weinstein's brother.
Mm-hmm.
He came out publicly and said, "This is so bad, I have to fire my own brother."
Wow.
Well, now we've gone beyond accusations of sexual harassment, which are one thing. Mm-hmm. Now we've gone today to three women accusing him of raping them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably, as I say, it's probably just the tip of the iceberg, because if this guy's been had this problem for two or three decades, and he's been unchecked. When you're that powerful and you have that much money and you control, especially actresses getting jobs in the industry, the old casting couch scenario, looks like to me that probably what really happened here in this situation.
Who's the actress you just mentioned came out?
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. Now, I've got to say for a moment.
After 2 days, she did say something.
She came out, but in her statement, she said,
"I didn't know.
I wasn't aware.
I wasn't aware."
You don't
believe that? I don't believe.
I'm skeptical.
No. You don't, Ray? No. You don't believe that?
No. And evidently from the news reports, everybody in Hollywood behind the scenes, especially in the upper echelons, everybody with money and power knew something was going on.
Right.
Because this is not like this story came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
tales about Harvey Weinstein have been going around for a long time. It's completely, what, disingenuous at best for Meryl Streep to come out and pretend, well, I didn't know anything about it. That's almost impossible, because they say it was just basically known and Hollywood chose to look the other way.
Yeah.
Well, the problem for the Democratic Party and the Clintons and the Obamas, of course, the Clintons aren't going to run anymore for office, you assume, and nor are the Obamas, so politically speaking, it's not going to affect them. But reputation-wise, it is, and it really neuters, if you will, or it really disqualifies, it should anyway, these liberal women, in particular, from speaking out against sexism, you know, from their Hollywood perch, speaking out against misogyny, sexism, and sexual harassment, and those kinds of things, when they have not spoken out against Mr. Weinstein. Anyway, Harvey Weinstein in all kind of trouble, and you, as you said, Fred, dumped by his own company that he founded. And as I say, you know, I don't know, four or five other names might come up that would he's in a league with people like Spielberg and those kind of people. Ray, wouldn't you say?
Well, he's one of the movers and shakers in Hollywood, right? One of the people with power and money. I mean, he says yes, the picture gets done. He says no, it doesn't get done. So people had a lot of motivation to cover up, look the other way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Fred Jackson and Dr. Ray Pritchard joining us now is Sandy Rios. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association. And she's also, you know, host of the Sandy Rios in the Morning program here on American Family Radio. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim. I'm sad, man, listening to you guys talk. I'm just, that just really makes me sad. The sin that's so destructive everywhere, across the board, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know what, I think of Eric Bolling, who, look, I'm not defending any anything that he might have done, which sound terrible to me also, but they were so hard on him, and I would argue that his son, he lost his son over this, his only son. Mm-hmm. And I just think of the lives destroyed, not only by destroying people's reputations, happily fanning the flames of even rumors, not reporting the activities of Harvey Weinstein and allowing, you know, him to really harm and injure so many women. It's just sad all the way across the board.
Yeah, and this, you know, the Saturday Night Live program, which I don't watch anymore, been many years since I watched Saturday Night Live. I'll watch a clip here and there on the internet, but I don't sit down on Saturday night like you would maybe during the Chevy Chase, you know, Gilda Radner. Steve Martin days, where most of America tuned in on a Saturday night to watch that comedy show. They've gotten so political and not funny so much anymore. But they, but the point I'm bringing this up is about Saturday Night Live, Sandy, as they did their show Saturday, the story that already broke on this guy, Harvey Weinstein, or Weinstein, however you pronounce that show. It's a big deal in New York and L.A. and in the entertainment industry. And Lorne Michaels, the executive producer of Saturday Night Live, was asked, why did you pull the skit on Harvey Weinstein? Why didn't you do something on him? Because if you can bet your bottom dollar, if he'd been a Republican high-profile individual, they would have, certainly with Donald Trump, they have 1,000 times. And he said it's a New York thing. And that was the answer, Lorne Miles. That's not an answer, because as Donald Trump Jr. tweeted out, hey, my dad's from New York. Mm-hmm. You don't mind bashing him over something he said, which was terrible, what Donald Trump said on that bus 10 years ago, talking about the grabbing the woman and everything like that. It was terrible. And he deserved the criticism that he got. But now we're talking about a guy who went beyond criticism into actually doing things, evidently. Mm. And so what I'm saying is this really, Sandy, this puts the Hollywood and the news industry and the New York power brokers in a bad well, I say a bad situation. It puts them in a situation where they're going to be maybe even start turning on one another over something like this. I saw that last night. I was reading some stories, and you have some Hollywood actresses going who've come forward and say he violated them, this guy did. And they're saying, where is everybody else? Why isn't everybody else speaking? Matt Damon, all you people who work so closely with this guy, why aren't you saying anything? So it's going to get ugly within the New York, L.A., Hollywood industry themselves on this. Right, Sandy?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
And, you know, our God is a God of justice. I mean, what's right and true in time does come out. And I think it could maybe, God willing, be a turning point for Hollywood. You know, they've enjoyed their decadence to the fullest.
Yeah.
At least in our generation. They enjoyed it in the 20s, too, and then did a turnaround. Now they've just been, there's been no pushback. They have promoted violence, sex of every kind of degradation and iteration, and there's been no punishment, no accountability. And maybe now they will see the real consequences of violating God's principles routinely in your life. It has real consequences. And it seems like Hollywood has forgotten that. And they've gotten so blinded that they're destroying themselves. And maybe this is a chance for sanity. I hope so. That's what I hope God will do out of it.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you one other thing, Sandy. Ray, I don't know if you have how much time you have here, but I want to ask you about a gentleman that I'm so proud of that you are, you know, and that is Attorney General Jeff Sessions. We've had a couple of things that he's done over the last week that have been very public. One is, well, why don't you tell us what he's done? Sandy?
You speaking to me?
Oh, yes, please.
Yes. Well, he's done so many things. He reversed the Obama transgender orders, more of them, just last week. He removed the stipulation in the President Obama's orders that contraception had to be covered in Obamacare. He's going after MS-13. He is encouraging. I tell you, law enforcement is so encouraged by the General Sessions. He also made a speech at Georgetown the beginning of last week on what's happening on college campuses with hate crimes, which is important. The Justice Department is actually going to weigh in and bring colleges and universities to account for the way they've been, just the unbelievably bizarre behavior on campus, which is intimidating our kids, our college students, from speaking the truth, which is creating violence, intimidation, all in the guise of free speech. I could go on and on. The number of things that General Sessions is doing is really unbelievable. Some of them you're not hearing about because, you know, he is not a person to toot his own horn. He just works. And I have to remind people that as aggravated as we might be about some things happening at Justice, Justice Department is one of the biggest departments in the executive branch. It has thousands of employees. And most of those people are not friends to the things that Donald Trump campaigned on. So it's a battle within and a battle without that General Sessions has to wage. I would also say that he has been surrounding himself lately with some very good staff, making some staff changes, and many of us are very encouraged about that. So, he also has to with it.
That, excuse me for interrupting, but that was I was so worried that President Trump was going to fire Jeff Sessions when he got mad at him for recusing himself on the Russian investigation. I know he was upset, and I know he was mad, and quite frankly, I think President Trump had a good reason to be upset. But I'm glad he didn't fire him, because Jeff Sessions is the best cabinet appointment he made, in my opinion. And that is proven to be true. And we need to pray for Attorney General Jeff Sessions, because the left is going after him fast and hard. And they would like, second to President Trump, they would like to bring Jeff Sessions down because of the things that Sandy mentioned that he's doing and other things. Fred, you had one thing, and then we'll let Sandy go, but you wanted to ask her about one thing in the news.
Yeah, in the news this morning, it was certainly the headline on Fox News early this morning, and this is this FBI report, which cites, the headline is this, cites black extremists as new domestic terrorist threat. Foreign Policy magazine first reported it. saying it is very likely this group, identified as black extremists, proactively target police and openly identify and justify their actions with social political agendas commensurate with their perceived injustices against African Americans. The report said the agency previously had analyzed the potential for violence of black identity extremism, a term that was unfamiliar before it appeared in the document. Wondered to just get your reaction to that. And I think if we were still back in the Barack Obama days, this FBI report would never see the light of day.
Well, that's encouraging to me, Fred, because as I've made pretty clear, we are extremely worried about the FBI and its leadership, even still. Andrew McCabe is still the second in command, and he should not be there. He absolutely should not be there. Andrew McCabe, when it was announced that General Flynn resigned from the Trump administration, Andrew McCabe was on a video conference call and high-fived the agents around him. He was so happy. And also then used a very bad, in reference to Trump on this video. He is not a trustworthy agent. And some have said that there's a cancer on the executive floor in the FBI. And I believe that's true. I believe it started with Bob Mueller. I believe it carried over James Comey. And I think the leadership, there is still a cancer. I believe the rank-and-file agents are doing their best. They are good people who are fighting an uphill battle. I think it's a very good sign. You notice they use the word extremist because they want to categorize, meaning the left, not necessarily the FBI, as it intersects with the purposes of the left, want to categorize us as extremists. They use that rather than being real specific about what it is that they're criticizing. And I also want to say that for the people listening to us, you have to remember that the move of the left is always to divide us, whether it's along racial lines, political lines, sexual lines, male versus female. They want to create strife and dissension. And so they will exploit the deep wounds of the past in order to magnify the differences, in order to agitate people and make them toward big government as a solution. And that's what's happening with these black, I'd say, revolutionary groups. They don't care about black causes, traditional black causes. That's why, you know, when Barack Obama first ran for president out of Chicago, the black leadership in Chicago did not embrace him. They said, he doesn't know anything about the black experience in America. He's totally disconnected from that. But he happens to be black, and he's a leftist. His goals and motives are different. But as much as people like former President Obama and Bill Ayers and other leftists can exploit the real root wounds of the black community for their purposes, they will. And that's what's happening with these black activist groups.
Yeah. Thanks, Sandy. Appreciate it so much. And we look forward to your show every day here on AFR.
Thanks. Thank you, Tim.
All right,
thank you so much. It's great to talk to you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
By the way, Sandy will be with us next week in studio for Share-a-thon here on American Family Radio. Ray, what do you think about what Sandy was sharing there?
Well, the whole thing about the FBI is an enormous concern, isn't it? Because the Russia investigation is up in the air. And they don't seem to be able to find anything. I am very concerned that, well, let's put it this way. I think she's exactly right about Jeff Sessions and the other people around the president. It's a good thing. We need strong leadership from the White House because we're at a crisis moment in America. So many problems. What happened in Las Vegas, the storms we've had, there's a sense of uncertainty and fear. I'm really glad to see, as you said, Tim, that the president did not replace Jeff Sessions because he is doing a very good job.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, you followed this closely. What do you think about what Sandy was
talking? Yeah, well, Sessions, the FBI does have a damaged reputation because they're still leaders in the FBI that were there under President Obama.
And Comey.
And James Comey, well, he's gone now, but yeah, he was part of the problem. So I don't know what has to happen. I'm really surprised that Andrew McCabe is not gone yet. His wife ran for Senate. And anyways, there's Democrat money, thousands of dollars mixed in with Andrew McCabe's name.
Is he the assistant attorney general?
Yes, yes.
So he serves right under
Christopher Wray. No, FBI director, assistant FBI director.
Excuse me, okay.
Yeah, he serves under the new FBI director, Christopher Wray. So I don't know, but President Trump needs to do two things. He needs to fire Andrew McCabe, like Sandy said, and he needs to get rid of this special counsel led by Mueller, who used to be the FBI director. That special counsel is led by 17 Democrat donors, Democrat lawyers, mm-hmm. who've given to Hillary Clinton and gave to President Barack Obama. He has the authority to instruct the deputy AG Rosenstein to fire Mueller, and I think he needs to do it. He'll get a lot of flack. It'll be a three-day end-of-the-world news story, but then it'll be over.
There's a lot of pressure. There's a story on the very thing you're talking about this morning that a lot of people are encouraging the president to fire Mueller. There was a story yesterday. CNN, to their credit, was the first to report it. They have documents now coming out of this meeting that Donald Trump Jr. had with the Russian lawyer, et cetera. You remember all the big headlines? They talked about, you know, the Russians had dirt on Hillary Clinton, et cetera, et cetera. They released documents yesterday that show that meeting had nothing to do with dirt on Hillary Clinton.
Right.
It had to do with the sanctions against the Russians over the Russians refusing to allow adoptions. Mm-hmm. That's what that meeting was all about. And many people have said all the way along, the Russians, yeah, they probably hacked some computers during the election campaign. But the idea that the mainstream media and others have said there was collusion between the Trumps and the Russians on this, there's absolutely no evidence of this.
And
nothing.
And there's still questions about who unmasked.
Yes.
Michael Flynn.
Yeah.
Michael Flynn was spied on by our own U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
And someone in the government, maybe Susan Rice, mm-hmm. had him unmasked in mm-hmm. in the White House. And that's illegal.
Yes.
That's illegal to have someone unmasked unless there's criminal activity. So, and there was none of that to our knowledge.
Yes.
So that's still...
General Flynn.
Yeah, General Flynn. It's kind of like the IRS thing. Who's getting punished? Nobody. They're all still working at the IRS. Mm-hmm. And no one's answered for who unmasked General Flynn.
Yeah.
Now, Susan Rice, who used to work for the Obama administration as UN ambassador, and what was her other job? National Security Advisor or something like that?
Right.
She did admit, right, to unmasking some people.
Well, she denied it, right? Denied it. And finally, the evidence was overwhelming, and she couldn't deny it. I don't think we've heard the full story about what Susan Rice did. Mm-hmm. I mean, Walker, I agree with you. The most likely candidate who unmasked General Flynn was Susan Rice or somebody who worked for her. That would be best guess today.
With the blessing and or instruction of President Barack Obama.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Well, President Obama was never held to account for Benghazi, State Department Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Susan Rice.
Or Susan Rice. The lies about Benghazi, I know people got tired of hearing about that, but were just so numerous and so many unanswered questions that President Obama, he never was even called to testify on that.
No.
And it appears that he went to bed the night of Benghazi so he could go out to Las Vegas and raise money for his campaign the morning after. Yeah. That's just one of the things that happened in that particular story. But there were other instances where they were never held to account, as Walker's talking about
right.
here. We will be back in 5 minutes after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.